Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me this week as we're diving into scripture together, as we're walking together another week in God's word, and we're asking the questions, what is God saying to me and what am I doing about it? And we're now in the swing of summer. If you're like me, I'm always like, oh, summer's going to be so relaxing, going to be so restful. And then it's always just a different kind of busy. You know, always when I think I'm going to have more time to pray, I think I'm going to have more time to do stuff. It's a different kind of busyness. It's a different kind of work. And so I just want to encourage you, even at the beginning of the summer here, to make some time, not just on vacation, not just to take time away from work, but within the context of the rhythm of your life, how in this season can we increase time for rest and leisure with the Lord? So just, I've been feeling just a pull to just be with the Lord in silence more, to drive with him, like not call anybody on the phone, not listen to anything, to just take those different moments to say, how can I incorporate kind of this spirit of resting in the Lord throughout my day? So like not even just, okay, how am I going to take a vacation and get rest from work, but actually how can I incorporate a rhythm of being with the Lord and walking with the Lord? And one of the ways we do this, of course, is by reading the scripture, because it feeds us. But I think, as we've talked about before, is even just focusing on, as we read the word and as we read the word together this week, to have a special challenge to say, okay, take piece by piece of things that are sticking out to you and actually hold it with you, bring it kind of into that secret place, into this secret garden that you're making with the Lord, the secret place in your heart, and mull it over with him. Talk to him about it. Rest in the word that we're going to receive today, whatever the Holy Spirit's speaking to us. Because what we find so often in the show and in our time together as we're reading God's word, that the Holy Spirit each day reveals kind of this overarching theme for that day of what he's trying to speak, of what the Lord is trying to say. And so to actually take that theme and to live it throughout the day, not just be like, oh yeah, that was good, that was a great theme, you know, or that really hit me as I listened to it, but to actually say, Lord, help me to actually bring that into a deep place of secrecy and intimacy with you. And even as I'm in a meeting, even as I'm at my kid's soccer game, even as I'm driving in the car, I'm holding what you revealed, and you're doing deeper revelation because I'm holding it there in my heart. I'm not just forgetting about it. So that, I think that's just an overarching challenge for this week of being with the Lord in a rhythm of life and trying to bring that into the larger context of our life, not just this compartmentalized like time that we have together. So this week, I want to take some time to go through a little bit of Colossians chapter 1. You know, as we're approaching the summer at Be Love Revolution, which is our ministry for middle school and high school girls, and then usually all of the college girls that have been involved with us come home for the summer. And so we do a lot of different kind of summer stuff. And so during the school year, we do a 6:30 a.m. Bible study with the girls, which then that switches to a 9:15 a.m. Bible study, so they can sleep in a little bit every week with high school girls. And so this year, this summer, we felt really convicted to do the book of Colossians. And so I've been rereading Colossians, just like Ephesians. It's a short book, Paul's letter to the Colossians, and it carries many of the similar themes. It was interesting when I was reading Colossians 1 yesterday and just being so convicted by it. There's a portion leading up to the portion we're going to read. We're going to read a particular portion about the supremacy of Christ, because just like other letters like Romans and different ones, Paul is writing and saying, he's saying, we established this church and I'm going away. The church is getting bigger, but it's still in the context of a secular culture. It's still in the context of a culture which is being ruled by other principalities and powers and kings and kingdoms. And so he's reminding them throughout the letter the supremacy of who Christ is and what he has done. And there's so much language. You know, Paul is asking for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to come on the Colossians. He's asking them to be strengthened with power, with the power of God's might. That sounds so similar to what he's writing to the other churches. And so it's just so convicting. And so today I want to start in Colossians 1, and we're just going to go through and see what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about Jesus. And there's a sense that the Lord's been giving me just this summer of returning to my first love, returning to a fresh revelation of the person of Jesus, not for anything, but just the desire for him to be the treasure, to see him and to have that fire of desire relit in each and every one of our hearts, not just to change, not just to grow in virtue, not just to have a great holy life, but for the person of Jesus. And so let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to read God's word and see what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us about Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We adore you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes as we read this to see Jesus clearly. That we would have a fresh encounter with him, that reading these words would spark a flame of desire and the power of the Holy Spirit to hunger and thirst after the person of Jesus. That we would see you, that we would know you, that we would love you deeper through this word. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to start in this section that's the supremacy of Christ. And so far, we're leaving off on one of my favorite verses where Paul says, he has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness, from the dominion of darkness, and delivered us, transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. This is where we're beginning in verse 15 in the supremacy of Christ now. So we're talking about Jesus. We're going to read 15 through 23. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. There's so much there and so much the Holy Spirit's going to help us unpack throughout this week. But let's start just with the title, The Supremacy of Christ. And I love this. Paul, he tells us in the section before what the gospel is, that Christ has delivered you from the dominion of darkness and transferred you into a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. This is who you are. That your destiny now is to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And now he's talking about who is the one who has done this? Who is the one who has delivered us? And he begins to describe Jesus. And there's a way, friends, even as we read this paragraph, that we need the enlightenment and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Because as we read it without the Holy Spirit, we don't even really know what it means. We don't know what it's saying. We don't know how to just like how to grasp it in the natural, because God is so big. This morning when I was praying, I was just like, it sounds so lame and like childish, but I was like, God, you're just so big. Like even the fact that there's no end to you, and there's an image of God that we've made in our likeness that God wants to destroy and destruct so that we can see him as he is. So that first verse, he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus says this over and over again to his disciples. He says, no one has ever seen the Father, but I am making him known. No one has ever seen the Father. John says this, but the Son of God has revealed him. not just revealed him in spirit, but revealed him in flesh. He is the image of the invisible God. In the past, in the Old Testament, we see God appearing through the burning bush. He's showing up. He's passing by Moses as he's hidden in the crevice. His glory is passing him by. We see all of these manifestations of the one true God in the Old Testament. And now here in the New Testament, the image of him, not as a pillar of smoke, not as a pillar of fire, not as him appearing in the sky, not an angel on behalf of him, not even like a human on behalf of him. Jesus is fully God and fully man. And so in him, we'll read later that the fullness of God dwells, but the image of the Father is carried perfectly and completely in the Son. And I'm just going back to that phrase from John, no one has ever seen God. Up to this point, no one has ever seen God, but the Son has made him know. In the Son, we see God, the invisible God. Think about this, friends. Invisible, not seen before. Jesus comes and he says, in me. And again, it's not a holograph of God. It's not just like a painting that we're looking at that we're like, oh, that's probably what he looked like. There was a way that he looked as a human man. And Jesus is saying, I'm carrying now for the first time. The human race is seeing the face of God in a baby, in a manger, in a little boy being obedient to his father, Joseph. And finally, bloody on a cross, marred. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The image of the invisible God, and going back to that, the foolishness of the cross, and going back to that passage from Isaiah that says there was nothing in his face that we would have looked upon him. He was marred beyond words. And so this face, the image of the invisible God, is Jesus on the cross. And this mind-blowing reality, friends, and we have this even more so in a Catholic context, that we receive actually the invisible God. We receive him in our bodies, that the invisible God has been made physical, not just visible, but has been made physical. He's taken a physical body. He's become fully God. He's been fully God, but he's become also fully man. And there's now this image of him, and we see him in the Eucharist. We receive him in the Eucharist. We can behold his image. This is so funny. We just got through the first half of this first sentence. The invisible God has made himself visible to you, not in an appearance, not in an apparition, but by sending his Son to carry his visible image. No one has ever seen God, but the only begotten Son has made him known. This is the first step of knowing someone, right? Seeing them. It's like having a long-distance relationship where you've never seen the person yet. And people are like, well, they're probably, how do you know it's the real person, right? This is the first step of relationship, seeing the person, beholding the person. And God's saying, I want the relationship to go so much deeper. So God, who is from all time, is revealing himself in the physical. In a physical man, in God himself. Holy Spirit, help us to meditate on this truth. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.